to talk about choosing what's best. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, we find two women who make choices when it came to approaching Jesus, serving Jesus, worshiping Jesus, and just simply when he came home. Jesus was a good friend of two or three particular people in Bethany, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. They were brothers and sisters, right? As you recall, Lazarus is the one that died. He was buried, and after he'd been out there for 4 days, Jesus came and resurrected him. You remember that story, right? Well, we're not going to tell it all away, but that's one thing to remember. Another thing to remember is that Jesus came to visit. Apparently, they were good friends, and Jesus came to visit them every time he was in town. And we're going to talk about a particular visit that Jesus paid them and what happened. And you see, in life, we got to make decisions, and decision-making is an everyday thing all the time. You have to decide whether you brush your teeth this morning or not. I hope you did. Amen, hallelujah. You had to choose whether you have breakfast or not, and if you didn't, you're like me. I'm hungry now. So you had to make some choices. You see, you had to make some choices to remember to bring your iPad and all the stuff that you bring to church, and I didn't. So then I had to make a choice to redo it downstairs, and it was a mess and a pain. I'm not used to this anymore. I'm too technological now, too advanced, right? But we make a lot of decisions. Some of them are menial tasks that we have to decide upon, you know, like I said, whether you're going to come up the stairs or come up the elevator, right? Some people make choices like that. Some people make choices of whether I sit in the first pew or I sit in the back pew. You know, simple as that. So you make choices like that if you want to. Or you just go wherever somebody tells you. You see, your wife sits down and you sit next to her, right? And you made the choice to sit next to her. So there's choices all over, whether you are trying to choose a man for your life or a woman of your life or the girl of your dreams, a boy of your nightmares, whatever it is, right? But depending on what you choose, it'll affect you negative or positive, right? And we see some people that make choices in the Bible. And, you know, like David had to make some important choices in his life. And he knew that his choices were either going to take him to the ruin spiritually or to the spiritual blessings of God. Even in Psalm 90, in verses 11 and 12, if we can put it up there for a second. There it is. Who understands the power of your anger? And is that it? Yeah. No, yeah. And your fury according to the fear that is due you. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. You see, we want to be wise when we present before God because we don't have much time. You see, we can't be wasting time. This is very important. You got to make right choices in life. Then we see Joshua at the end of the book when he conquered the land with the people. He took them in. They conquered the land and started occupying the land that God gave them. At the end, Joshua says, "Now you choose today whom you shall serve. Should you serve the idols of these people or serve the Lord?" And then he finishes up by saying what? "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made a choice. He made a choice for his family. Men, those are the kind of men that God is looking for, making choices for his family like that. We'll talk about something like that on Father's Day, so don't worry. It's coming up. So you see, God gives us the capacity. God gives us the knowledge. God gives us the ability to choose, and he gives us the choices whether we choose correctly or incorrectly. He wants us to choose the life that will bring blessings as a consequences of eternal, eternal consequences. Even when you read Deuteronomy, you've seen in chapter 29 and chapter 32, when God says, "Here I present before you blessing or cursing." Not that you're cursed, right? But I'm just saying it's got to be on one side or the other. But blessing or cursing. Now you choose whether you choose blessing, you'll have life. If you choose cursing, then you'll die. So it's either a life or death situation. Now, hopefully, you don't have to make those kind of decisions every day, right? Life or death situations, even though when you're on the road, you do. Especially if you have people like me that be hitting the neighbor's cars. But that's another story for another day. So we see in the Bible a case of two sisters, Martha and Mary, and what happened to them and the choices that they made as Jesus had come to visit them. And there's something that we can note here. You see, they both they both were behaving as disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that when you mention the disciples of Christ, immediately you think of the 12 disciples, all men, no women. But Jesus had a bunch of women that followed him, and we can see that as when he goes to the cross and at the tomb, hello, women were there first, right? So, you know, and by the way, when Jesus comes in this occasion to Martha and Mary's house in Bethany, apparently he comes in with 70 people. Do you have any family members like that or any good friends that come up and show up with everybody in the neighborhood? We had some like that when we were little. My uncle and my aunt would drag everybody in the neighborhood and bring them to our house for the weekend. I'm serious, 20, 30 people. People that we didn't even, oh, nice to meet you. You'll be sleeping in my bed tonight. That's crazy. But anyway, like I said. But we can see something here, even though, of course, they're not named as disciples of Jesus. They were behaving just like it because they were followers of Jesus. A disciple, you know, we refer to the apostles. I rather refer to them as the apostles and refer to everybody else as disciples. But Jesus shows up after he had sent out 70 people. The 70 people come back with all the report and everything. Oh, we went evangelizing. We went talking to people. We went casting out demons. It was awesome. And they come back and Jesus said, let's go. And they go to Bethany. And we don't know if Jesus showed up with 12 or with 70 or how many. But there was a bunch of people apparently because Martha was kind of, you know, worried. Now, let's just go there. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 and see what's going on here. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha apparently was the elder in the home, or the oldest sister, right? She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, Martha, stop. Take it easy. Take a chill pill. All right? Amazing what Jesus says. He or she is all frustrated, and Jesus answers, Martha, Martha. And Jesus didn't go like, what you talking about? You over there worrying and doing all that crazy stuff in your mind while you're trying to do dishes and cook and stuff. What's going on with you, old lady? No, Jesus didn't go like that. He was like, Martha, Martha, right? All right, let's talk about here a few things that happened. And we'll talk about to worry or not to worry. You got to make a choice in life, whether to worry or not to worry. And let me give you some myths about, you know, things that we believe like that have to do with this. For example, people believe that busy equals important. If you're busy, 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 that means you're doing something important. Not really. That's a myth. You know, you could be doing so much stuff that it's not important and not a priority. Does that happen to you? I don't know, it happens to me sometimes. I get distracted really quick. That's a bird. You know, like, or like the little dog in the movie Upright, squirrel. You know, just go everywhere, right? I do that. If you look at my computer, I have like 10 different programs open, and on the internet I have like 8 different pages open and 6 documents on the pages, and the keynote has 4 presentations. Everything's open at the same time because I start doing something like, I remember I start working on the other, and I go to the internet, oh my God, and I never finish anything in time. But I'm busy, 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 busy. You know, let me tell you something. When you face God, when you go to him face to face at the end of this life, do you think he's going to ask you, how busy were you? Were you down there? Were you busy? Because I wanted you to be real busy. No, I don't think so. Let me give you another myth that we believe. Someone has to win the rat race, you know? I got to get there first. I got to be numero uno. Yeah, we believe that we're in a race. You see, and I don't know. God is more interested in what you do with him than what you do for him. So you got to be careful when you get into those kind of things. Some people think that being in a hurry buys them more time.
You see, if we hurry up and do this, we'll have more time. We just fill the extra time with more work, don't we? I don't see anybody in a hurry so that they can rest. People are in a hurry because they want to do something else and work harder. Do we do that or not? Must be somewhere else. How about this one? Downtime is wasted time. Some people believe that downtime is waste. Tell that to God. He took a full day off, a Sabbath. He said, you know what? And even he told the people, on the seventh year, you shall let the land rest for a full year. Don't plant anything. Oh, my God, what are we going to eat? How are we going to live? We have to plant. You may not know, but I'm going to plant something in secret. I'm going to plant something inside my house where nobody can see it. You just got to think and go, 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 go. No, no, no rest, right? Because there's no downtime. God instituted the Sabbath, the rest. He rested. Therefore, I shall rest, and I love resting. Do you? Anybody don't like resting? Because if you don't, I'll rest for you. Amen. One of the greatest tragedies, of course, of being too busy is that it's a tragedy. And that's what happened to Martha. But let's think about this. Martha was offered the opportunity. Jesus comes to her house, and immediately, now this is really nice when people do this, right? When you show up at their house and immediately they're like, you want something to drink? Let's put the coffee pot on. Let's turn that on. We're going to get, oh yeah, pull out the beignets. Something, right? And they want to serve you. They want to give you. And they want you to stay and eat. And this is awesome. It's an awesome thing. But you have to be careful with the attitude or the reasons or how you accomplish that. How do you serve other people, including Jesus? You can make the choice of serving him, or you can take the opportunity to simply enjoy him. Now, neither one is wrong, right? But it depends on how you do it. Let's think about a couple of things here then. Number one, Martha was distracted. Let me tell you. Martha was really distracted. As a matter of fact, if you think of Martha, and we're going to give her a grade for everything that she did, we're going to give her a big D. She got a D. Mary had an A, but she got a D. Let me show you how. First of all, Martha was distracted. She was distracted with the anxiety and worry. All the preoccupation of serving, she was distracted. She was trying to make it all happen. Can you imagine having all these people at her house? And in verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. You see, she was all, even Jesus said, you're worried and bothered. You don't need to be like that. Because there was a lot of people to be served. Probably she was distracted. While Mary was simply enjoying the company. She just sat down and said, well, I'm going to listen to the conversation, you know. I'm going to listen to Jesus speak while everybody else, Martha's in the kitchen slaving herself. But number two, Martha was depressed as she began to feel sorry for herself. Martha got depressed. You see, two D's right there she got. She was depressed. She started thinking, here I am slaving myself, and my sister's just sitting there doing nothing. Something wrong with her. Amazing, right? Instead of appreciating the moment and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy the company, she actually came to Jesus to criticize her sister. I'm over there doing this, and look at her. She's just sitting there doing nothing. Can you imagine somebody doing that to you in front of a very important guest, making you feel shame and useless and stuff like that? Mary could have gotten up and said, oh, no, you didn't, and got into a fight. But apparently Mary kind of, ignored her. I got somebody more important here that I'm listening to. Hello. Goodbye. You know? So she got depressed. She got depressed. Now, also, she was disapproving. She became critical of her sister, of course. Not only she came complaining about her sister, she was totally disapproving her, and she didn't understand that Mary was actually into something good. And last but not least, Martha was demanding. She went to the Lord and said, hey, what you talking about? Wait a second. Time out. You're here doing all the talking. She's doing nothing but listening, and I'm slaving away. Something's wrong here. I'm serving alone, she said, alone. Nobody else is helping. She was demanding. She was actually telling the Lord. And then she tells the Lord, tell her to help me. She could have told her herself. Don't we use the Lord sometimes like that? Or we think we can twist his arm into doing something for us that we don't want to do ourselves? Or maybe we're just complaining to God about somebody else and we tell him, mm-mm, you take care of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. In name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, take care of him. Now, God, you seen what so-and-so did to me? I know you're going to take care of that. And let me give you a suggestion. And you start telling him a list of things that you want done. Must not have anybody like that around here. But anyway, pretty demanding, Martha. You know, she was ordering Jesus. Yeah. Whatever. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered for so many things. You know, so many things on your mind. As a matter of fact, he can read her mind, right? He's see all of her thoughts and everything. Now, I can't read minds, but I can use my spiritual imagination and think of a few things that might have been running through Martha's mind. Like, for example, here I am in the kitchen, smelling like smoke. I'm almost choking, and nobody helps me. Or she could have been thinking, and where did Jesus get all these people? Did he have to bring them all at the same time? Weren't there just 12? Now there's like 60 more. I'm tired. See that girl right there? Lazy. Jesus doesn't say anything, so she might have been thinking, Jesus. And he don't say nothing. You see, she lazy, brings a bunch of people, and he don't even excuse himself or say, hey, I'm sorry, Martha, I brought so many people. Hey, let me multiply what you got so you don't have to work so hard. Peter, if he can only preach like he eats, goodness gracious. And there's that little one, John. Yeah, look at him. Always sticking to Jesus, all up in his lap and stuff. Judas, if he'd only pull some money out of that bag and give me some so I can buy some more food. Stingy. And how about the other 60? You know what? I don't even have time to talk about them, so forget them. See, all those things could have been running through her mind. Amazing, right? There's nothing wrong in serving. And what good does it do to serve if we forget who our guest, our main guest, our most important guest is? If we're rude with our service, or if we just serve expecting everybody else to serve at the same level we are, or we're just thinking, I'm doing all the work and they don't do nothing. Or we're just thinking, oh no, hello, they need to be doing this too. What is it? It invades our mind. Talk about being worried and bothered like Martha. And we miss the blessing totally. Remember what I said. What you do with Christ is more important than what you do for Christ. Amen? So don't get a D, all right? Let's look at Martha. She wasn't worrying that much. Because she made another choice. It was either to serve or to worry or not to worry. And then she was in another choice, to worship or not to worship. And here's Mary. Now think about it. Mary chose three simple things. Number one, she chose to listen to God's word. She just sat there and listened. Jesus comes in and immediately Martha starts working in the kitchen. And immediately, at the same time, Mary sits down and says, I want to listen to everything that's happening. I haven't seen you in a while, and I want to hear all about it. Jesus, tell me what's been going on. What's hanging, brother? How's it going out there? She's interested in Jesus' life, interested in what he has to say. She just simply fell prostrated before God. Now, Mary didn't even question what Jesus was saying or question whatever was happening. She didn't even say, how many people we got in here? No, she just went on, right? When it comes to Jesus, think about this. Mary just listened. She didn't say a word. The whole thing, she didn't say a word. Maybe we ought to be listening more than we're talking. Amen? This is a simple illustration. I've used it 20,000 times. I think there might be a reason why God gave us two ears and only gave us one mouth. Maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we speak. Right? We ought to be listening more than we speak. Number two, Mary chose to trust the word of God. Not only she chose to listen, but she chose to trust Jesus. I want to show you something about Mary a little bit further. If you go to John chapter 11, in John chapter 11, we have the incident in which Lazarus, their brother, had died and was buried. And Jesus shows up 4 days later. It was already stinky around the place with the dead body. And in verse 32 in chapter 11 of John, I want you to check this out. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then a little bit later, Jesus tells her, "Do you believe?" And she says, "Yes, I believe." She not only trusted, she trusted. She says, "If you would have been here, I know that when you're in the house, everything is right. I trust you. You're my safety. I'm secured in you. You're the one that makes it all happen. You're the one that makes it all possible. I trust you." Mary only saw Jesus at a distance, and she came right to where he was, got on her knees and said, "Lord, if you would have been here." And Jesus reminds her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe?" "Didn't I tell you?" And she believed. Mary was a woman of faith. She felt secure. She felt safe at the feet of Jesus. She was a woman of gratitude. And you see, there are many people that do not feel safe in the presence of Jesus. They feel scared because they hide stuff. And Jesus brings all things to light. And unfortunately, I'm not just talking about people in the world. I'm talking also about Christians. If Jesus showed up face to face, many of us, probably including myself, would turn around and try to hide. Instead of going over there and getting on our knees and saying, "Whoa, so glad you're here." I'm like, "Oh my God, why'd you have to show up now? Didn't you like believe in text, emails, or something? Hello?" She listened, she trusted, and last but not least, she made a choice to worship. Mary chose to serve God in worship. Now, you don't see Mary serving here where you see Martha doing all the serving. But she did serve, and I'm going to show you in a second. Let's go to John chapter 12 for a second. Let me give you the first seven verses of John chapter 12. Let's read. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. This is like the third trip that he came and visited them. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. Here we go. Martha was the cook. Simple as that. Now, this time it doesn't say anything bad. She don't complain. Apparently, about the third time, she said, "Okay, my job is to go to the kitchen and shut up. I'm the cook here. You hear me, Dom? I'm the one who runs the kitchen." I got a couple of Marthas around here, right? Well, they're not the only ones. I got a few Marthas here. My God, I've been fed since my wife's been gone. Praise the Lord. My wife's been gone, what, a week or so now, a week and a half? And I've only cooked once. It's amazing. We've been taken care of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, girls. Yeah. Anyway, let me just keep going here. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. You see, this time Lazarus is there. You know, he's just been resurrected by this guy. You know, he's got just a little appreciation for him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people?" Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used it to pilfer what was put into it. He used to do whatever he wanted with that bag, that little box. He was the one with the money box. He was the treasurer in Jesus' first church of Christ in Jerusalem. And he was stealing the money. Therefore, Jesus said, "Let her alone, leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial." And then he says, of course, "For you will always have the poor around you, but you do not always have me." He was trying to tell him, "I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this place. You won't have me here for long. The poor, you can serve them any day." But in any case, think about what happened here with Mary. This time, Mary brings out the best perfume she had been saving. Very interesting that the relationship that Mary has with Jesus, because we always see her, and we see her at his feet, on her knees. When we look at John chapter 11, we see the same thing. When we look at John chapter 12, we see the same thing. We look at Luke chapter 10, she's always at his feet. Apparently, Mary was a man, was a woman who lived on her knees. What a beautiful thing, her relationship with God. And this gesture of love of Mary, when she came and she poured that perfume, we have to think about this for a second. Judas said, "We could have sold that for 300 denarii. That's 300 days of work. That's almost a year's salary. 2 months, that's 10 months' salary. That's how costly this perfume was. Do you have any perfume like that? That is valued at 10 months of your pay? Ooh, amazing. You're talking thousands and thousands of dollars here, right?" That's what she had. And actually, when you look at what she did, of course, it's just like, this is expensive perfume, oh my God. How long has she been trying to save this and getting a little more and getting a little more and getting a little more and putting it in there? It was believed that a woman would collect perfume throughout her life, the young lady, so that the day of her marriage, she could pour it all out in fragrance for her husband as newlyweds. In essence, some people say that Mary was making a covenant with Jesus, as a woman would make a covenant with her husband. And remember, the church is the bride of Christ. So it was like she was marrying Jesus. It's cool, ain't it? Giving him all that she had, everything that was worth and valuable to her that she'd been saving for so long. And she gave it to Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't say, no, don't pour that out. He said, "You know what? Beautiful gesture. Let this be saved for my burial." See, Jesus knew he was going to die. Apparently, she poured some of it, and, you know, she didn't pour the whole bottle out. Probably everybody would have been like, "Yo!" Right? Well, they were. But Jesus was saying, "You know what? I'm fixing to get buried. You're going to have to pour some of that on me. I'm going to need it." You see, very costly. But Martha served Jesus. But this time, nothing is said. But when we talked about the other encounter, she did it with an ill heart. While Mary looked like she wasn't serving God at all, because she was sitting there listening, but she was listening with such intent and such love that the words of Jesus took her to the point of serving even greater than Martha, because she did it out of worship and love. She chose to worship. Martha chose to serve. But even, you have to be careful, serving the Lord is good. But if you do it without love, it's like a cymbal that resounds and make you sick in the ears, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. So you have to be careful. Listen to the words of Jesus. Trust the words of Jesus and choose to serve him as a response to his word. Now, at the end of the chapter there in Luke 10 and verse 42 says, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. What is the necessary part? What is the necessary part that Mary chose? How about a relationship? How about a close relationship with God? Mary chose the good part, Jesus said. Once again, we come back to the beginning. What you do with Christ is more important than what you do for Christ. You have to make a choice there. He says, this will not be taken from her. You see, because Martha, you're making all this great food. And all this great food will be eaten, and in about 3 or 4 hours, we'll be hungry again. But what I'm feeding her, what she shows, will last forever. And no one can take that from her. When you take the word of God and you listen to it carefully and you trust the word of God faithfully and you work at it and you serve him faithfully, it will make an eternal difference in your life. And that's all you need. His word. Everything else that you take in will fade away. No matter how many degrees you get on this earth, what matters is the degree of your relationship with Jesus Christ. The deeper you get with him, the greater it will be. So, what I'm asking you is, come like Mary. Make the choice of sitting at his feet. Every morning when he comes and visits you by opening your eyes to the morning, just simply come and sit right at his feet. Don't get all worried and bothered about what your day may bring. I have to be honest. Sometimes in the morning we get too bogged down with what we got to do that we don't do what we got to do, which is spend time with God in the right way, not in a hurry. Have you ever find yourself in a hurry in the morning? Have you ever had a moment in which you skipped sacrifice or simply, oops, I'll do it in the car. Oops, I'll listen to it on the phone. Oops, I'll take some time to pray a little later. That's what I'm talking about. That's when you get worried and you get bothered like Martha, because you're thinking of all these things you have to do. You can make all the sacrifices in the world to serve him. And there are people in churches who serve God. I mean, they are so busy for God. But one thing is being busy for God, and another thing is serving him wholeheartedly. So I call upon you to sit at his feet. You don't want to miss the blessing of what he has to say. He might say something to you in the morning or anytime you approach him that may just change your life in one way or another and have eternal consequences. And you will never lose that. The Bible says right there, Jesus said, nothing can be taken from her. That will not be taken from her. Once you experience God and you experience him in love and you trust him, you will never be the same again. So choose to listen. Choose to trust him. And choose to serve him like Mary did.